This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Hey, we have a podcast review from Apple iTunes. I guess it's Apple Podcast review.
Okay. And this I hope it's another 5-star.
Oh, of course. We actually have a perfect 5 out of 5-star rating on Apple right now.
Okay.
Now, we only have 10 ratings, but hey, it's still 5 out of 5. This is from K.A. Cross. Okay. And here's what he says. He or she. Correct. Oh, I almost messed up there. Great podcast. Craig and Amanda work well together and offer lots of tips for saving and earning money, not just stock advice. And Craig, my Domino's.
You talked about that in one of the earlier episodes about your Domino's account.
That was like episodes ago. That was like one of the first episodes.
So it was one of the first ones. So I'm surprised we got 5 stars.
Yeah, we were definitely not smooth at that point. Craig, my Domino's account was just hacked too. Pizza and wings ordered in Baton Rouge. I'm a smart man. Baton Rouge while I was on vacation in Colorado. I will be looking into password encryption key. Thanks for the tip. Oh, and we're going to be talking about that today.
Well, how timely is that?
What a segue. The top 5 ways hackers steal your passwords, Amanda.
All right.
And what I thought this was really useful because this gets into all of your online accounts.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, you use the LastPass, don't you?
I use LastPass. There's a lot of great ones out there, but I. So you have
strong passwords then?
Yes, I do. Oh, okay. You have homework, girl. We're going to fix you.
My husband, bless his soul, he is. He obviously, I've said before, he works for the Army, but he is in system administration. So he's very into the strong passwords and he always can guess my password.
Was it Roscoe?
No, woof, woof. Not. I know at least not to do that.
But, okay. Yeah. If you're not familiar with how this works, I've been doing this since the 80s. I actually learned computers from hackers, Amanda. That's what started my whole journey into geekdom.
Wait a minute. Time out. Where did you just randomly meet hackers?
Okay. So, quick story. We'll make this 60 seconds. Put me on the timer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's an important story though,
because I don't ever just run into hackers.
Oh no, I ran into hackers. So in the 80s, I had a Radio Shack computer, a TRS-80. Remember now I'm dating myself. They were called Trash 80 computers. That's what Radio Shack. Anyway, so you had to go to computer stores. You couldn't download software back then. You had to go buy games and stuff at these stores. They were all over the place. So I could not figure out this computer whatsoever. So I end up going to this one little software store in Washington, D.C. in Tenleytown. And I'm browsing around. There's this guy there. He starts talking to me. He's like, so you have this computer too? I'm like, yeah, but I can't figure it out. He goes, all you need to do is come to the Chevy Chase Library. This is in Montgomery County, Maryland. Come to the basement of the Chevy Chase Library on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm like, what's that? He goes, oh, it's a computer club. Just show up and we'll help you out. I'm like,
okay.
All right. So anyway, I show up. I walk in the door. And remember, this is in the 80s. They have robots. They're programming. They're doing all the stuff that a lot of people didn't see till like late 1990s to 2000.
Uh-huh.
And they were copying
software. In a library basement.
In a government public library basement. And I was like, and then they gave me a shoebox full of diskettes, full of games and everything. And I didn't have to pay anything. My lawyer is on here.
All right, back to our topic. Top five ways hackers steal your passwords.
Brute force.
Number one.
So like if Amanda, if you use the password Roscoe, that would be brute force. Meaning, you know what the number one password is in the Washington, D.C. area?
No.
This was in USA Today. It was Redskins.
Oh, really?
It is.
I bet in Wisconsin it's probably Packers.
It probably is. So this was actually, it might have been the Washington Post. Or if you had to put letters and numbers, it's Redskins 1, 2, 3.
Oh, boy.
So okay. Brute force, there's actually software that you can use as a hacker or, you know, a teenager. And if they know that you do this sort of thing, the software literally just keeps hitting the account, your names of your dogs, your kids, stuff like that, based on what you have on your Facebook profile. They just gather all the information and usually they can get in pretty quick. You can typically get in within seconds. It's that good. Now, if you use a 16-digit password with letters, numbers, and symbols, it could take 93 trillion years to guess that. Whoa. So if you use a very long password with a combination of letters, numbers, and symbols, 16 digits long, that would take care of that brute force entry. Now, another way, which is very common, and if a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend wanted to get into your accounts to see what you're doing,
like my
you
husband.
Think I'm kidding? A lot of people do this. It's called keylogging malware. Now, keyloggers, it used to be you could put on USB key and plug it in to a computer, a home computer, and it would record every keystroke that someone does on that computer.
Yeah.
Now, the malware part, okay, you're on Facebook and you get those 10-year challenge things that you can click on and it takes you to another website.
Yep.
This is how this stuff happens. So people click on that stuff or there's a neat little game. And then how many times have you seen someone on Facebook says, oh, I got hacked. What happened is they clicked something they should not have. Now they got malware.
A lot of those games are created in China.
Correct. I don't click on any of that stuff.
I don't click on any of those.
So
I'm also not that interested in, you know, what my spirit dog is or a dog animal or whatever.
But you are going to look the same 10 years from now.
I am because I don't age. Yeah.
But some of that malware that ends up coming on your computer could be keylogger, and it's recording every keystroke you did, whether it's credit cards, your passwords, everything. And it's getting emailed automatically to a server somewhere, typically in China, India, Russia. And then when you get hacked, you wonder what happened. Well, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Or it can be done locally by a spouse. It happens a lot. And private investigators will help the spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend install these on your computer. Anyway, that's keylogging.
So that's number two. All right. So number three, phishing scams. So these are social engineering scams that are, a favored delivery method for some of that malware you just talked about, as well as getting unsuspecting victims to volunteer personal information like login details. They often are sent by email and they rely on your gullibility and don't actually involve any technical components usually. So a lot of people are familiar with the Nigerian prince scam, right? Like somebody is sending an email saying, I am a Nigerian or my uncle's a Nigerian prince and I will send you so much money as long as you send me some Western Union money or something like that. And people, sometimes the heartstrings get pulled and they fall for it. Or a lot of them are, it looks like an email coming from your bank and it says, click on the, your password is about to expire. Click here to update it. And you click and it's not actually your bank's website. It's, you know, someone who's pretending it's your bank, and then you enter your password and they have access to your account.
So one of my Fortune 500 companies that I work for, they will send these out intentionally. There's third party companies that will work with companies to send these out. And if you click on it, you are now required to take a course on not to do that again.
Yep.
So I see them every now and then. Now I'm like, I don't know if that's legit, if I'm supposed to reply that email. So
You'll find out
5 days later.
In today's environment, when you're getting hundreds of emails a day, sometimes it's not, you think you know these rules and you're super savvy, but you get an email and sometimes you just react. So the tip there is really just kind of pause and digest. Is this really a legitimate email I'm getting? And your bank's never going to email you asking for your password. Never.
No.
Yes. And so that you just want to go and type in your bank's URL instead of clicking on a link, and you'll see if it's something that is really needed or not.
So here's another one that pertains to a lot of our audience, because we have a lot of people that travel all the time that's in our audience.
Number four.
Yep. Number four, network eavesdropping. So what this is if you're hanging out at a Starbucks or an airport, Amanda, this is so easy to set up and people fall for it all the time. So if I'm sitting in a Starbucks, I could get up my laptop, I could set up this software, and I can make it appear to be the hotspot. So I could call it Starbucks public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And everybody coming in here will connect to my Wi-Fi.
Right.
And everything that they do is going right. I'm capturing. It's almost like a keylogger. I'm capturing everything that you're doing. And then they turn around, go shopping on Amazon, and they start draining your bank accounts and everything like that. And before you know it, it's over. It happens in hotels.
I never log into any of my like my bank accounts or anything that requires a password when I'm on a public network.
Yes. And another way, I know this is a term that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but you can buy a VPN. It's a virtual private network. They're relatively inexpensive. You can Google it. It's like a couple dollars a year. A lot of your companies that you may work for may have them available to you. But
we do. We use a VPN.
Yeah. It happens a lot also in hotels, because if you're staying at a Hilton, Hyatt, someone could be in their hotel room, set it all up, and people think they're connecting to Wi-Fi, the public Wi-Fi. And yeah, it happens a lot. That's a very, very common way of doing it. I have T-Mobile and I get unlimited hotspot. Usually while I'm traveling, I only go through my phone. I had the VPNs built in my phone and then I'm going through the hotspot. So I know which way my traffic's, I'm doing double. Yeah. So anyway, what you got for number five?
Number five, shoulder surfing. So sometimes it's actually simplest, and one of the oldest tricks in the book is looking over someone's shoulder in a public area to, you know, glean login information. So they've been criminals have been using this for years to obtain PIN codes at ATMs, but it also applies to other situations such as office visitors, you know, someone walking around your office. That's why a lot of offices require escorts. I would put in the same category people who leave their passwords on post-it notes by their computers. Yeah.
It says Roscoe on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's interesting, Craig? When you were talking about the network eavesdropping and the keylogger malware, I did see a story not this long ago that when you're traveling, you know, all these new charging ports that you see all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Criminals are using those to do malware. So you plug in your phone to charge it and it's actually going to install malware there. So you want to be careful not to just plug your phone into any random USB jack that you see for charging.
And for
bring
me,
that little cube, bring that power cube and just plug into an electrical outlet instead.
And that's what I do. I only use AC outlets. I bring all my stupid chargers.
Yeah,
I hate it, but I do not use you. Well, number one, it takes forever to charge anything. So why anybody would do that anyway? Doesn't make sense to me. I use high power chargers because I need to get my stuff charged. So, but USB chargers in like an airport, they take forever. It doesn't make any sense. But another thing that I do, and we're going to talk about this on another episode because we're running out of time, is I use a password manager. I literally, Amanda, do not know what my passwords are. I don't. I use LastPass. There's a lot of different brands of
password managers. They used to be Taco, though, right?
Yes, for every single one. I use
Taco
LastPass.
Taco was your chihuahua, right?
By the way, he's dead, so thank you. Now I'm all upset. LastPass is the one that I use. There's a lot of different ones out there. There's just the one I prefer. And I use actually a hardware key. So if any of you listening there are my friends and you run into me, it's on my lanyard. I have a key. It works on both my phone and a USB port on my laptops. And I'm using it right here on my home computer right now in my studio.
And what if you lose the key?
If I lose the key, then there's a backup of on the phone, there's an app which has another backup source. So there's only one master password that gets into the vault of all the passwords.
Gotcha.
But for the passwords like for Gmail, Facebook, my bank, I do not literally know what my passwords are. So once I use the password manager and log in, it fills in the password automatically for me. And if I have a breach or I feel like I want to change all my passwords, I literally have 400 passwords, 400 accounts. Could you imagine how long it would take to go through 400 websites to change your passwords? If I click one button, it will go through and change them all automatically. So if I would do it like every 30 days or something like that, I just click on change passwords, and all the sites that it's able to, it will do it. And if there's some obscure small sites, I have to go do those manually. But all the big ones like Twitter, Facebook, it will change it automatically. And that's amazing. So,
you know what we didn't talk about, Craig, is the saving your password in your browser.
Oh, yes. I do not do that.
Yeah.
I do not save it in my Google. And that causes a lot of problems when you're using public computers, whether it's at work or in a hotel lobby. Do not do any of that. Do not save your password on the browsers. Right. I know everybody wants it to make it easy. People can get into your accounts, plain and simple.
Yep.
And always close your browser when you're done using it, if you're on a public computer.
That's a lot crazy, of people leave it up. They just close out the tabs. Open at all times.
Close out the entire browser so someone has to reopen it, and then it's all cleared out. So there you go. Just a reminder, folks, check out rockonthemoney.com for links to all of the locations where you can subscribe to the podcast, direct links to Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, all of them are listed right there on the front page of the website. Plus, we have all the podcasts hosted right there on the website so you can listen to it. We also break down the podcast to each individual question and make it a separate post so you can easily find what you are looking for. We also have great articles, guides to tell you how to freeze your credit, how to buy a vehicle, everything located on the website. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.